action movie. I love good action movies, and it's pretty intense and it's pretty graphic actually when you read it. It's quite sort of violent, and but it's an amazing story. And so what you see is that just prior to this, King Saul has gone up against the Philistines, and so there's been this massive battle. And Jonathan, who is the king's son, who is also David's best friend for life, has been killed. And then Saul is mortally wounded, and so he asks his armor bearer to take his life because he doesn't want to be captured by the Philistines. And the armor bearer is too scared to do it, so Saul actually falls on his sword and kills himself. And then David becomes king. And so you've got this amazing book which tells, it's like this action movie, and yet there's this little snippet right in the middle which is almost seems like it's kind of misplaced. And it's this amazing story, and we pick it up, and if you've got your Bible, you might want to look it up. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, and in her haste to flee, it happened that he fell and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Say that again. Mephibosheth. I want to ask you today, have you ever been sidelined? Have you ever felt like you got taken out of the running? Maybe you're in a sports game and you had an injury, or you know, you were skiing and you had a crash and you got sidelined. We have someone who is an incredible skiing champion in our church. Or maybe there was a foul or a penalty against you, and so you got the card and you got sent to the bench, or I don't know. Have you ever had that experience? Maybe it's you got made redundant, or you were let go. And there's that sense that was outside of your control, and suddenly you find yourself taken out of the running. I remember not being picked for sports as a child. I remember that one thing I wanted to do was to play hockey. And I was in standard four back then, which I have no idea what year that is. But I was so desperate to get picked for hockey. And the teacher was a friend of my sister. And so I thought, I am so in the running because I'm on the inside. And me and my friend thought, yeah. And he tagged along with that. He thought, because I'm your friend and he knows you, then, you know, we'll get in. And we just got passed over for hockey. And so we were just so gutted, but we thought, he just doesn't realize how good we are. So they're all practicing. So we just thought we'd just run around on the field anyway and kind of shoot some goals and show them how good we were, but that didn't really work. So we got sidelined. And it's so frustrating. And it's like being sidelined sucks. It's outside of your control, but you feel left out, unappreciated, misunderstood. But maybe you also feel frustrated and angry and in pain. Being sidelined is bad enough, but then there's moments like this that are life-changing moments. It's a time when your life gets turned upside down and you thought it was all going to go right and everything has been turned upside down. Mephibosheth has his life mapped out. He's the son of a prince. He's living in the palace. He's got everything that he wants. His future, his destiny is mapped out ahead of him. He's actually an heir in the royal line of succession. So he's actually an heir to the throne. He's got wealth and title and property. He can have any wife or wives that he wants. Anything he wants, he just has to say the word. He's also 5 years old. So none of this is probably really dawned to him exactly what is his. But everything is his, and he's got it sweet. He's five, and he's got nurses, and, you know, they're just taken care of him, anything he wants. He's got play dates, he's got mountains of candy, and as many bouncy castles as he wants. You know, I mean, that's what a five-year-old thinks about. And suddenly his world is swept into chaos. News arrives that his father is dead on the battlefield. His grandfather, the king, is dead as well. And what happens is the nurse who's with him, she panics because, and she picks him up and she says, "Mephibosheth, we have to leave now." And he's playing with his toys and she's like, "We've just got to leave now." And he looks up and he doesn't understand, but he sees the fear on her face, because what he doesn't understand is this, is that the customary practice is if an invading army attacks and the king is killed, then one of two things is likely to happen. The enemy is going to come and slaughter any of the remaining family who might be a threat to their rule. Or if the enemy doesn't come in, there's going to be some other ambitious challenger for the throne, and they're going to take out the family. And so the nurse is terrified, and she picks him up, and as she's running out, she stumbles. I talked with somebody this weekend about a mum who was carrying her child and he was pregnant, and she fell down some concrete stairs, and she actually protected her babies as she fell. And she's had back injury all her life since that moment, but she protected her babies, which is amazing. But that's not what happened. And Mephibosheth gets dropped, and he's crippled for life. The injury is so bad that he cannot walk properly for the rest of his life. Can we just close the door? Is that all right? Just get a little bit quiet. That'd be great. He's lost his family. He's lost his future. And then she drops him, and his feet are so badly injured that he's actually lost his freedom. That's not being sidelined. That's being exiled. That's being taken out. He's lost his identity, his inheritance, his freedom, and his resources. And you know the crazy thing is this, is that life goes on and nobody notices. His is a private pain. It's a quiet grief. And nobody sees it. Mephibosheth is taken from the palace and he's put under the care of someone, not his parents, not his family, but a stranger. And he grows up as an orphan and he's relocated to a town called Lo-Demar. Do you know that the devil wants to destroy us? That's it. He actually wants to take you out of life, okay? So let's just lay it out there. Like, He's not taking prisoners. He's like, "I want to slaughter all of you all." That's the devil's modus operandi. That's how he thinks. But if he can't do that, what he wants to do is take you out of the running. So he wants, if he can't destroy you, if he can't take your life, then he wants to sideline us. He takes us out of the race. If he can't take us out of the race, then what he wants to do is to stunt our potential, to limit our growth, to abort our destiny, and limit the potential that's on your life and on my life. And he will use any means to do it. He'll use disappointment. He'll use hurts. He'll use unprocessed grief. He'll use unforgiveness. Sometimes, like Mephibosheth, the person you trusted has dropped you. The one who should have been there for you stumbled and you got hurt in the process. The person that you thought was safe turned around and injured you. And sometimes the deepest wounds are the ones that come from the people that we love. And you have got to choose what to do with that. You've actually got to choose what to do with that. Am I going to forgive? Am I going to get healing? Am I going to reclaim my life and what's mine, or am I going to go to Lodomar? You know, when you look up Lodomar, Lodomar was a township, a small township, and it was actually considered to be a ghetto. It was considered to be a ghetto town. And the name for Lodomar literally means this. It means no bread, no pasture, no word, no communication. Actually, Lodomar, you know what it means? It literally means not having. And Mephibosheth has gone to a place of not having anything. There's no resources. There's no food. There's no sustenance. And it's like he's living under a shadow. It's like he's got this potential in his life, but he's living, his potential has been cut short. And you know what happens is sometimes in life, we can get taken out and we end up living half a life. But here's the thing, we don't even know it. We don't even realize that we're not living our potential. Have you ever taken a camera and you've actually looked through a filter before? And it's like everything, after a while, it looks normal. Or maybe you've worn sunglasses all day, and has anybody ever forgotten that they've been wearing sunglasses before? Yeah. Yeah. And it's like suddenly you take them off, the lens changes, and it's suddenly it's so bright, and you're like, man, I feel like I'm seeing for the first time. And yet you've been living life behind a lens. And so in Lodomar, it's like here's Mephibosheth, and he's thinking that his life's over, and he's thinking that his potential's been robbed from him. But the fact is this, is he is still a royal son. He thinks that everything's been taken from him, but the fact is that he is still a royal son. That's still his identity. You see, in Lodomar, you can live under an illusion. You can live under a lie. The fact is maybe you got sidelined and you got taken out, but the truth is it didn't change who you were. It doesn't change who you are. It only changes who you thought you were. And then the lens comes off, and you go, wow. Wow, God, you were just here all the time. And my hopelessness was not all around me, it was just in me. I thought everything was hopeless, and I thought everyone else thought everything was hopeless, but I realized that I was interpreting life through my lens. And I was interpreting other people's actions towards me through my lens. And I was interpreting the future of my life and my family and where everything's going through my lens. But then the lens got lifted and you go, wow. Do you guys see this? Can you see this? And like, yeah, it's good, eh? And then like you realize you were living life under a shadow. Do you know unprocessed grief can keep you in Lodomar? About 4 weeks ago, maybe four weeks ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was watching this screen. And on the screen was this preacher called Lauren Cunningham. And Lauren Cunningham was the guy who started YWAM. And so I'm listening to him preach. And here's the crazy thing is I don't even know what Lauren Cunningham looks like. But I have heard him preach before. And he just bleeds passion, man. He's amazing. And as I'm listening to him on the screen, I realize I'm doing something with my hands in the dream. And in front of me is a TV antenna, like one of the old ones that you'd have up in the roof of your house. And it's bent. It's not broken. It's just kind of out of shape. And I'm bending it back into shape. And Lauren Cunningham's preaching, and he's talking about self-care. And he's talking to like leaders and ministers and people like that. And he's talking about people who are hearers of the word and doers of the word, right? And you know there's that scripture in the Bible that says that you shouldn't just be a hearer, but you should actually be a doer as well, not just be a hearer. And so he's talking about this. And then he says this. He says, he's talking about self-care, and he says it's so important. that you learn how to grieve and that you learn how to rest. Because if you don't, you'll fall into the long line of preachers and ministers who are no longer in the race because they just became doers. And I woke up. I just knew that God was speaking, but I was confused because I was like, but God, doesn't the Bible say that you should be a doer, not a hero, you know? And so I'm trying to change the interpretation of the dream, and I feel God correcting me, saying, don't touch it, you know? And I'm like, well, what are you trying to say? And then he shows me the antenna, and the antenna that's bent, and it suddenly dropped into place. That your antenna is the ability to be able to receive, to be able to hear correctly. And what has happened for so many people in the faith is that they have run off and done a whole lot of stuff that God never commissioned them to do. And they did not rest, and they did not learn how to grieve and to process loss. And they ran off into that, and they're out of the race. And I knew that God was speaking to me, and he was saying, it's so important that you learn how to rest. And I go, but God, I got to do all this stuff. And he's like, that's fine, but you've actually got to rest. And you've got to figure out what's your responsibility and what you feel responsible for. And those are two different things. Oh, come on, somebody, that hit home right there. What is your responsibility and what you feel responsible for? Are you response able? Are you able to give the response that's demanded of you? Are you able to generate that response out of someone else? If you can't, it's not your responsibility. We feel responsible for all kinds of things. God's been on about me at rest for a long time, and I'm not always a good listener. But when it came to the grief thing, I turned to Helen and said, telling her about the dream, oh, grief, like, I don't know, I don't think there's really anything that I have to grieve about, and I'm doing an assignment, because I'm studying counseling, some of you know that, and they're talking about grief and loss, and they're like, you need to make a loss profile. That's how you figure out, by the way, how you work through grief. You actually figure out what you've lost. So you write down, you make a list of your losses, and you connect with those, and they're like, do that for an assignment. I'm like, hey, so I'm writing down my loss profile, and I'm like, what have I lost? Oh, I've lost, I want to lose some weight. I've lost some people from my life. I'm not always that sad about that either. You know, sometimes you know what I'm talking about. And then, let's not go down that rabbit hole. But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's probably a good thing that, you know, you're not in friendship with some people. And I just got stuck and I couldn't do it. And I put it away. And then God dropped the bomb on me. And I had to do an assignment about adoption. So you had to pick a personal reflection essay. And so Belinda, our friend's given us this amazing book about adoption called Coming Home to Self. And I started to read it. And as I started to read it, God began to disassemble me. And I realized, and I actually went and spoke to my Auntie Glenn, who's a counselor, and she looked at me and she said, Steve, Holy Spirit is saying to ask you, have you ever really thought deeply about the fact that you're adopted? And I'm about to go, yeah, of course. And I thought, I'm too smart to say that to her. And then I thought about it. And then I realized that all my life, I've held my adoption at arm's length. And I've talked about it, and I've spoken about people, and I help people with it, and I've dealt through rejection issues, and but I've never, ever grieved that I lost my mother. That for 11 months, I was with her, she cared for me, I recognized the sight of her, the smell of her, the sound of her. And she was gone from my life forever. I never grieved that. And so now I've got this problem because I'm really busy and I got to minister to people. And I'm like, God, this is really inconvenient. And to be quite honest with you, and I'm a little bit vulnerable talking about this, but there are days that I struggle to hold it together, and there are other days where I just feel this bubble around me of grace. It's amazing. And I find that I can walk through grief and I can rejoice at the same time. It's amazing. It's amazing. Gives you the oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes. So, so cool. But I realized that I'd been living in Lodamar, in a place where my potential was stunted. And I'm coming out of Lodamar, it's awesome. It's all good, I'm good. I'm gonna just mess up. But he's just so wonderful. I want to ask you today, I wonder if you have property in Lodamar. If you have a property in Lodamar. Maybe it's just a holiday home. Maybe you've got a mansion there. Maybe you live there. But I want to say to you today that the King has come to find you in Lodamar. 2 Samuel 9 says this. David turns to he's been in rulership for some time. And he says, is there anyone left from Saul's house who I can show kindness to? Amazing. I mean, Saul has been such a tyrant to David. He's pursued him and tried to kill him so many times. And David's always pursued the path of honor. Always. He said, I will not touch the person that God's anointed. I will not attack the person that God's anointed. And he had every opportunity to. And now that Saul's dead and David's got rulership of the whole nation, he's got a heart after God's own heart. You read that about David, right? That David was a man after God's own heart. God was looking for a man after his own heart that he might appoint king. And so he asks, he says, is there anybody left from Saul's house that I can show kindness to? That's not what they do. That's not what kings do. The next ruler takes out the old family. It's right throughout history. Because you don't leave a disgruntled son of a king to rise up and overthrow you. But who's appointed David king? Who's appointed David king? God's appointed. Who's going to keep David as king? God's going to keep David as king. And so there's a servant called Ziba that comes in and he says, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. And so the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machiah, son of Amiel, in Lodamar. Lodabar, sorry. And then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machiah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. And then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. And so David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually. And then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Gives you an insight into his inner world. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and his house. You therefore and your sons and servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that my master's son may have food to eat, But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Wow! What an incredible incredible transition from a place of no bread to a place of all the bread of the kingdom. From a place of no pasture to all the resources of the kingdom. From a place of no identity to a place of restored identity. From a place where his inheritance had been robbed to having everything restored to him. Only sons and daughters get to sit at the king's table. And scripture says that you've been adopted as sons and daughters. And Helen read it today, the same scripture that I've got here from the same translation. I'm going to read it to you. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of adoption of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. You know, in the Greco-Roman world, there's no distinction between those who are adopted and those who are born into the family. You receive full rights and privileges when you're adopted. And it says this, and since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his riches, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. What amazing scripture. Some of you are like, just, did you get that? We are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. You know, the beautiful thing is this, and I'm going to wrap up in a moment, but the beautiful thing is this, is that shame and weakness and struggles are covered when we are embraced as sons and daughters. You see, for Mephibosheth, the very thing that was his brokenness and a reminder of his past, his loss and his pain, is no longer shameful because he gets to sit down at the table, and his brokenness is covered, and he sits as an equal with the brothers and sisters at the table, and nobody sees it because of love and adoption and acceptance. You have a place, you have a seat. The Bible says that we are seated in high places with who? With who? With Christ Jesus. And so his weakness is no longer a stumbling block. He's been embraced. I wonder today how many of us have got property in Lodomar. Maybe you're in Lodomar and you're living a shadow life. You're looking through a filter. I want to say to you today that the King has come to find you. To remove the filter, you can see who you truly are. God actually wants to bring you out to realize and live in the fullness of the potential that's on your life, to not be stunted, to not be limited. Everything that hinders and restricts your growth, it's time this morning, it's time to let him have that. We've been down at Fearless Conference and I met up with this couple down south. And their names are Kim and Joel, and we knew Kim as just this young girl who's part of the youth group down there. She's married now. About a year ago, I was down there, and she was pregnant. What happened is that her sister came to stay while she was pregnant, and her sister got chicken pox. And Kim was fully exposed. She couldn't send her sister away. She had to treat her sister's sores. And then she discovered from the nurse that it's very dangerous for babies in the womb to be exposed to chickenpox. And the nurse said to her, there's a really good chance that your baby will be born with stunted limbs, not fully grown. And a young couple had just got married. When I saw them, they came up to me, they were tears, they were terrified. This news was the worst kind of news that any young couple, you know, can get. And they said, please would you pray for us? Please would you pray over our baby that our baby will be born whole. And so it was my privilege to pray with them. And their next scan was too early to show any change because the baby's so small that the limbs haven't fully grown anyway. And they had to wait 13 weeks for the next scan. You can just imagine, eh? And so we prayed and they cried and I declared God's healing and intervention over them. And yesterday I met up with them again and they have this beautiful baby girl called Anna. And Anna means grace. And God's grace to them and grace to her. And facts were, Grace was at risk of having her life stunted, restricted and limited, but they came to Father God and God intervened. God wants you to grow to your full potential. He doesn't want you to be stunted, limited. So today it's time to leave Lodabar. Can we just stand together this morning? I want you to close your eyes. And Stefan, could you just pop on that song that I've selected there? He's in the waiting. And just as you got your eyes closed this morning, I want to ask you again, have you got property in Lodabar? It's time to step out from there. The King has come this morning. And I want to open the front here this morning and I just want to declare to you today that this is a safe place. That actually that nobody's going to judge you because we've all been there. But I really specifically feel to do something this morning as you come out. And that's to actually pull you out of that place and to declare over your life prophetically that you are coming out of that place. That place where you're looking through a filter or you just feel like, yeah, you know, my potential has somehow been limited. And so right now, if that's you and you're identifying with that, can I just invite you to step out from where you are? This is not for me, and if nobody comes, it's fine, but I feel like there are people here that need to come. Maybe just come and stand in a line. If you're not sure, just ask God, he'll tell you. It's sort of that thing, if you have to ask, and it's probably true. Father, I just thank you this morning for your presence that's here with us. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that you have come, that this morning that the King has come to bring us out of that place. And I ask you to do something this morning that's going to seem weird. I want you to take one step backwards, if you would. Just take one step backwards. So I've got a little bit of room. And Father, this morning, today, we acknowledge that sometimes we find ourselves stuck, that sometimes we find ourselves in that place where We feel like something's come and restricted us and limited us and limited our potential. And this morning we give that to you. We lay it down to you, Lord. And even as I'm praying right now, I want you to just lay that before him. Say, Lord, this is all I've got. Lord, this happened. The person that I trusted dropped me. I got sidelined. I got taken out. Well, Lord, I just feel that there's a filter, and I'm asking you today to remove that filter. And as I come around to you this morning, I am going to pull you out of that place and declare over your life that it's time. And so today I say, it's time. I say, come out, 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 come out today. Come out of Lodabar today. Step into your full potential this morning. Step into it. Step into it this morning. Come out of that place. Come out of that place. Father, right now, limitations broken off in Jesus' name, right now. Father, right now, right now. Pull you out of that place. I pull you into the throne room, into a seat at the king's table. Come into the king's table today. Father, right now. Father, today I declare full rights and privileges. A release of full rights and privileges. 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 Full rights and privileges this morning.